Say goodbye, it's time to cry. Say goodbye, it's time to cry.
Crimecast, number 7. And stop by evilnow.com if you're interested in picking up anything that I'm doing as far as books and CDs and DVDs. This next segment is a bunch of Ted Bundy clips that I pieced together. You're going to have to turn this up. It's a very, in a lot of spots, you can barely hear what he's saying. He's whispering into a microphone. This is hours before he was executed, and this is his only known confession. These tapes were used for FBI training purposes, and some of them have seeped out into the underground, and this is a chunk of what I have. I have like 4 hours of them, and I'm going to go through them, but this is the cream of those tapes, and this is the, in the last part you'll hear. It's about 2 hours before his death where he's saying, I'm just tired, I want to go to sleep. And he goes to sleep all right. So here he goes.
This is, I guess, where it counts. To me, that means that we go over things in great detail, but not just the incident itself. Ultimately, whether it's to you or to somebody else, because basically it all began in Washington State, that is, that's where I was living, that's where I grew up as a kid. And that's where I grew up as a young man, and those kinds of images, impulses, and behaviors which ultimately led to the violent behavior, you know, occurred, if you will, in Washington State. That the kind of broad understanding that I'm looking for is going to come, you know, during those years I lived in Washington State. Unfortunately, I guess from your standpoint, it was Washington, basically Washington State, where those first crimes, incidences, murders that took place. Well, let's just do one here. I mean, let's start. Obviously, we got to start somewhere. And I think it's a long shot, it's a pretty long shot, that you might be able to get something out of it. At least some of that so-called tangible evidence that might be of some value not only to you but to others, and maybe a bit of information even if you don't find anything else that might be of some value to families. Okay, so we'll do, I understand that at the Issaquah site, which I could describe to you, would describe to you if you want, there were remains of three individuals found, two identified, one not, because of the kinds of remains that were found were so few and unidentifiable. Okay, what do you want? Where this description of the site first? How do you get there? I mean, you just don't make this up. Right? Maybe half a mile, quarter mile down this little side road. If you kept on flying all the way down. Oh, well, Lord knows what the little creatures up there did, what the animals would have done. But I think let me start with one. Okay. Let me start this way. The unidentified remains. This is where I'm a little bit, the presence of the officers down here is a little bit unnerving. Some of this stuff I don't mind talking about, but because they wouldn't know from Adam. But names, I can write it down, or I can whisper it to you, or whatever. I just don't want the police getting any kind of names at this point. Well, can you hear that?
I can hear it. Yes.
Okay. I just said that the Hawkins girl's head was severed and taken up the road about 25 to 50 yards and buried in a location about 10 yards west of the road on a rocky hillside. Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but not anything you would have found that I know of. If you'd, you would have found it, probably you would have found a damage to the head. The jaw in particular, probably broken. But if you'd found that, you would have known who it was. But anyway, I don't know. Is there any reason you asked me that question?
I was moving up the alley. Using a briefcase and some crutches. And a young woman walked down. I saw her round the north end of the block into the alley and stop for a moment and then keep on walking down the alley toward me. And about halfway down the block, I encountered her and asked her to help me carry the briefcase, which she did, and we walked back up the alley. Across the street, turned right on the sidewalk in front of, I think, the fraternity house on the corner there. Rounded the corner to the left, going north on 47th. Well, midway in the block, there used to be one of those parking lots they used to make out of burned down houses in that area. Let's see. We were to the car. All right. And basically, when I reached the car, what happened was I knocked her unconscious with the crowbar.
Where did you have that?
By the car.
By outside?
Outside and back of the car.
Did she see it?
No. And then there were some handcuffs there, along with the crowbar.
Along with what?
The crowbar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they handcuffed her and put her in the passenger side of the car and drove away.
Was she alive or dead?
Oh, no, she was quite... Not that she was unconscious, but she was very much alive. One of the things that makes it a little bit, among the things that makes it difficult is that at this point she was quite lucid talking about things. About some... it's funny, it's not funny, but it's odd the kinds of things people say under those circumstances. And she said that she thought that she had a Spanish test the next day, and she thought that I had taken her to help tutor me for a Spanish test. It's kind of odd. Mm-hmm. Odd thing to say. Mm-hmm. The long and short of it, I mean, I'm going to maybe try to make this get there by degrees. The long and short of it was that I, again, knocked her unconscious and strangled her. And drug her into about 10 yards into the small grove of trees that was there.
When you're trying what?
Cord.
Cord?
An old piece of rope.
Is something you brought there with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Something that was in the car. Then I packed the car up. By this time, it was almost dawn. It's just about dawn. Sun was coming up. And I went through my usual, I say usual routine, I went through this routine where I was just absolutely, I would go through this, but on this particular morning, I was just absolutely, again, just shocked, kind of scared to death, shocked, horrified about. And I went down the road throwing everything that I had, the briefcase, out the window, throwing the briefcase, the crutches, the rope, the clothes, just tossing them out the window. This was just, I was in a sheer state of panic, of just absolute horror, you know. It's like at that point in time, consciousness of what has really happened is like you break out of a fever or something. I would, that is. And so I would. I drove north on 90, then out of northeast on 90. At some point, throwing articles out the window as I went. The articles of clothing, shoes, etc.
When did you remove those?
What?
This year's clothing.
Well, after we got out of the car, initially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I skipped over some stuff there, and we'll have to get back to it sometime, but I don't feel, I just, it's just too hard for me to talk about right now. Mm-hmm. Oh, sure, yeah. I threw away the briefcase and the crutches and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the crowbar, everything. The handcuffs, everything. I got to get mad at myself a few weeks later because I'd have to go out and buy another pair. I mean, it's not comical, but that's what would happen.
Mm-hmm.
Well.
I mean, the Spanish test is pretty darn good, if you ask me.
That's what she said. Mm-hmm. Unless she was hallucinating. She said her everybody called her George.
George?
That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Or how about that? She used a safety pin to... Because apparently her blue slacks were a bit too big.
Mm-hmm.
Or that's about all I know.
Okay.
I mean, I suppose it was this. I'm sure there are bits and pieces that'll come back to me. But there wasn't a lot. You know, obviously there wasn't a lot of conversation. But
mm-hmm.
Talk about details coming back. I couldn't find one of the shoes. So I thought it was there, but it wasn't. So I went back. This was the next day. Got on my bicycle, rode back to that little parking lot. I knew there were police all over the place by that time, but I was kind of nervous because, and I'll tell you why in a minute, because I'd left and my car had been parked there. So I may have seen it. Now something was found there that might connect me. So I went back to that parking lot and I found both the pierced earrings and the shoe laying in the parking lot at about 5 in the afternoon. So I surreptitiously gathered them up and rode off.
After the police had checked that area?
Well, you can tell me. I'd seen whole streams of them driving around all over the place, but they were concentrating on places like the park,
mm-hmm.
nearby park. I bet you they couldn't have looked in the parking lot and missed the patent leather, white patent leather clog and the two white pierced earrings. More than 2 weeks before that, I had been using the same modus operandi in the same neighborhood. In front now of the same sorority house that George Ann Hawkins disappeared from, I encountered a girl going out the door and asked her to help me. Walked her all the way to that lot, 11 o'clock on a Friday night. And I was drunk and I was just babbling on, and I told her I worked in Olympia, that I lived in a rooming house. I mean, I was just, I was horrified later on. But,
were you drunk when you got pockets?
Yes, more or less, but yes. That was basically part of the MO at that time, yeah. But I got all the way to the car, and this would happen sometimes, and just said, no, I don't want to do it. I said, thank you, see you later, and she walked away. But after the Hawkins thing, I was, you know, just paranoid as hell that this girl would say, you know, something weird happened to me a couple weeks ago. This guy came along with crutches and asked me to help him. He took me to a Volkswagen and said he worked in Olympia and lived here in the university district. And how many people could that apply to? So, there you are. But, of course, after, you know, in June, after a week, it's, you know, what with all the local wildlife, but there's not much left.
Were you going back to that scene to commit sex act?
Well, I don't want to talk about that right now. We will talk about it someday, but I don't really have enough to give you the background on that. I want us to work into that.
Did you ever carry anybody?
Oh yes. Yeah. I mean, in my, you might say my more coherent. That's when I was really going all out to and took my time. Yeah, I did. And I mean, it's quite clear. I mean, there's no question about, almost without question, those who have been found were not, and those who haven't been found were buried.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, she's up in the mountains. Well, excuse me. Up in the Cascades. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that night is like some kind of dream, you know. A very blurry, very nightmarish. And I have trouble piecing it together, but it's going to take me a while to work on that one. I sometimes had a bottle of wine in the car and was just, among other things, extremely drunk.
Just so I can get an idea about timing,
mm-hmm.
as far as the next 2 hours or hour.
Well, Bill, I could corroborate something on virtually every one of these. I mean, I'm almost without a doubt on every one of these in one way or another. I mean, that's I don't think anybody doubts that I've done some bad things. The question is what, of course, and how, and maybe even most importantly, why. I'm not.
Well, most of the people that are coming here.
You know, make no bones about it. I am looking for an opportunity to tell the story as best I can in the way that makes sense to me and the way that'll help not just you or the families, but that's very important, but also to help my own family. You see, I saw the look in my stepson's eyes yesterday after he had been told for the first time that, you see, he's always believed in his heart. I mean, he always wanted to believe that I had never done anything like this. As hard as it may be for you to believe that, there are people who do believe that. And there are people close to me who believe that. And to see the look in his eyes confirmed my worst fears. See, he says, could you... He was just absolutely astounded. He couldn't understand. And he was writing me questions, just furiously writing questions. I could see that, you know, that he was... You know, how really bewildered he was. And I need to give him a chance to know, and others a chance to know what was really going on, what it was really like for me.
About a context. And I know you have a narrow focus, given your law enforcement and perspective. And that's important for what you do. It's important that those questions be answered, but it's important for me that those questions be answered in context for any number of reasons, but but perhaps the most important reason for my own family, so that they understand it. But if they're only getting part of the story, they're only getting the worst stuff. You know what's going to happen if and when all this stuff goes public, if all you did was just hit the who's and the when's and the body count. It's going to be bad enough as it is.
I don't want to beat around the bush with you anymore. So I'm just tired and I just want to get back and go to sleep.
Okay.
So let me just tell you, I know that part of her is buried up in there, but nothing identifiable. Probably just literally bones. The head, however, the skull, it wouldn't be there.
Where is it?
It's nowhere.
It's nowhere?
Well, I don't know. I'm not trying to be flippant. It's nowhere. It's in a category by itself. In that it was... No, I just assumed this was something that he just kept. I don't know that I'm going to see the headlines now, but...
Ted, there's not going to be any details. What you told me about Georgianne Hawkins isn't going to be known. I got parents out there that don't even want to know the details.
Well, I know.
He wants to know, and I want to know for my own good.
Yeah,
Well, it was incinerated, and it was just an exception, a strange exception, but it was incinerated.
Where'd you incinerate it? Come on, partner. These are things I don't know about you.
Yeah, this is probably the disposal method of preference among those who get away with it.
Yeah.
But because, it's the most bizarre thing I've ever been associated with, and I've been associated with some bizarre shit.
Right. It's incinerated.
It's incinerated.
Tell me about it. What the hell happened?
Well, I don't know the address of the place. I never want to tell this. I promised myself I would never tell this because it would... I thought that of all the things I did to this woman, this is probably the one she was least likely to forgive me for. Poor Liz.
Mm-hmm.
In her fireplace. It's really not that humorous, but in the fireplace at that house.
Burned it all up?
Down to the last ash, and then in a fit of twist.
Yeah, that's a slight twist. Yeah.
It's a twist, and it's a lot of work, and certainly very risky. Circumstances. I mean, the kids come home from school, and there's a roaring fire in the fireplace, and it's warm outside.
Do you ever keep anything in your refrigerator?
No.
No body parts in the refrigerator.
No. Well, that was not. No, that was not something that I ever found any kind of body part thing. It's not something.
Okay. Before you mentioned. You gave up the 8 before, and you gave me 3 more. And I don't know what 3 you're talking about. Can you help me a little bit with those?